Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life.
We've been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Laura. We're the founders of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small.
And our team of experts show you how to live and shop responsibly by sharing world-changing lifestyle ideas, products, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the planet-friendly goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast.
And to help spread the word about the podcast, tap on this episode and share Good Together with your friends and family. A simple text message helps us grow and create change around the world. Time and time again, you texted, emailed, and DM'd us for our take on a planet-friendly way to purchase our tried and tested Brightly favorites. Because while the world of conscious consumerism is exploding, making mindful, planet-friendly purchases can still be a challenge.
That's where the Brightly shop comes in. To reduce some of the eco-overwhelm, every product we sell has been hand-picked and vetted by the Brightly team. You won't find anything in the shop that has less than 5 stars.
We've gone through hundreds of eco-products to discover new and emerging brands that solve sustainability problems for you every day. We even designed our own products like beeswax wraps to keep things fun and to help you live Brightly.
So how do we help you shop sustainably? The shop launches on the first Monday of each month and is open for 5 days. So the shorter, planet-friendly shopping window allows us to only order what we need.
After the shop closes, we pack and ship out products in bulk. This low-impact supply chain reduces waste and keeps the planet happy.
Brightly is also climate neutral certified. Because we are committed to climate action, we have set our entire carbon footprint from operations to shipping.
We believe in the power of collective change, and we are so glad you're joining us on this journey. Go to shop.brightly.eco to see what's in store. Use code GOODTOGETHER at checkout to receive 2 free hand-blown, ethically made wine glasses with any purchase. Simply add the wine glasses to your cart and apply the code at checkout. Have you ever thought that buying something at an overstock store like TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Ross, or HomeGoods was helping excess inventory stay out of a landfill? Because I've definitely felt like that before. I feel like I'm like helping waste stay out of a landfill. It's actually not true. So overstock stores like these continue to rise in popularity and sales. And consumers don't really see any harm in that, right? So there's this big assumption happening that you're getting good deals on excess goods. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not true. These stores are not nearly as eco-friendly as they might seem. So the editorial team at Brightly recently researched just how sustainable these stores really are, and the findings are probably going to shock you. So in this episode, we'll be answering some of these burning questions, including: how sustainable are these stores really? How are they really getting all that clothing and those candles in the first place? And how exactly do they get away with selling name brand items at such a low price point? All right, let's get into it. Hello, how are you, Lisa?
Hi, Laura. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited about today's episode. And I mean, we say that every time, so you listeners are probably like over it. But this one I think is really interesting because we like to talk about like myths around sustainability and eco-friendly living. And I feel like the myth surrounding an overstock store is huge, right?
Yes, this is definitely something that our audience has been asking us about, right? We talk a lot about fast fashion and slow fashion, how to shop, you know, your favorite fashion items or, you know, your favorite outfits in the most sustainable way.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are still confused, including me and you, right? Until like our team actually came together and did the research for us to have a definitive answer. A lot of people are still confused about, are overstock shops good for the environment or not? So here's why we are excited about this episode, right? Because our amazing content team did a lot of investigation and we have an answer for you.
Absolutely. And the other thing that's interesting about the timing of this episode is, you know, holiday season in general is on us, right? So like, you know, you and I are recording this, you know, early, a little bit earlier, or closer to Halloween when this is getting recorded, but it's going to come out maybe, you know, a little bit later than that. But regardless, when the leaves change, you know, like the temperature changes, leaves fall, there's a bunch of holidays that happen, right? Like at the end of the year. And I think it's very easy for people to, you know, they want to go out, they want to be festive. They might look to a place like a big chain store or something to help them with decor. But then there's also this like misconception, I think, that going to an overstock store like a TJ Maxx, and you're going to explain a little bit more about what they are. There's a misconception that like going there is good and that we're just going to keep doing it. So I feel like holiday season in general, right? You're getting the decor, you're getting the gifts. There's a lot more traffic into them around this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just thinking about it. I mean, people, as you just said, people get so excited about holidays. And a lot of the excitement is because, yeah, holidays are colder months. We're stuck at home. We want to surround ourselves by like comfortable, beautiful, with comfortable and beautiful things around us.
Yep.
We also buy a lot of things.
We're bored, right? We're bored. We want
to
go shop.
We don't go outside as much, or it's cold outside. So we go to the mall or an overstock store. So let's get into this, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what overstock stores are.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they exist all over the world, but probably they started here.
They definitely do. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, overstock stores, they are obviously only rising in the popularity, right? TJ Maxx, the parent company, TJX is the parent company of TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods. So they are actually owned by one company.
Yep.
And Ross have consistently been in the top 20 most profitable public fashion companies. And according to McKinsey's Global Fashion Index, going back as far as 2008, this is the data. So it makes sense that they're most in the rank of most profitable ones, right? Because why? Because they buy dead inventory. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so, well, the assumption is that they buy dead inventory, right?
Of course,
and so we'll
yes,
talk a little bit more about that in a second. But another thing that we actually, I don't even think we went into it too much into the actual report, which by the way, this full report that our investigative team came up with is on brightly.eco/podcast. But another thing is like an outlet store. A lot of times people think that outlet stores are just full of, you know, dead inventory. And we'll talk about why that may or may not be the case. But anyway, yeah, so overstock, outlet, et cetera. And the other point that I thought was interesting was going back to the TJX company that Lisa just mentioned, they actually shared that their home business represented 40% of their total sales in 2020. And the year before that was only 33%. So it's not just fashion. I think people think like, I mean, they used to think maybe, you know, like let's go to these places just for fashion, but like home goods and, you know, TJ Maxx itself has a ton of home stuff in there. So there's a lot of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember shopping, and like my mom, whenever she comes visit me here, she will like always go to TJ Maxx. And like, yeah, like over the years, we've seen such a quick growth in terms of their home accessories, like home section looks beautiful. Some items like even look artisanal, and they are. I think I've talked about once before that my previous company, we even had experience selling to this kind of stores. The reality is, it's kind of for big corporations and especially for smaller brands, especially brands that are trying to be fair trade and stuff. It's like a last resort. It's like, I have, you know, okay, I just need to move the inventory. It's like basically you're barely making any money. So anyways, that's kind of the supply chain.
But exactly. And there's like a big assumption from consumers, which is like, it's almost like you feel like you're going to a highly curated, more new version of like a Goodwill, right? Like you think, oh, I'm going and I'm buying stuff that is, you know, out of season, or it was, you know, it's been around for a year, they're putting it back out. Like you feel kind of like you're preventing waste from happening, right? Like you're kind of a hero, but that's not really what's happening.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's just, Laura, we'll get into the nitty gritty, but you know, when you see this season's products, right, especially if we're talking about fashion and TJ Maxx, obviously they're not scooping up that inventory, right? If like this stuff is updating there so quickly. Anyway, so let's talk exactly how does that happen? How this overstock chain stores actually work?
Yeah. So basically the supply chains that support this off-price market that we're talking about are typically categorized one of two ways. So the first way is those that provide unsold goods from the full price market, right? So that's kind of what we're talking about, that assumption piece. But then the other part is there are also, you know, channels that provide newly made goods, cheaply made goods, I'll tell you that right now, to these off-price retailers. So typically, overstock stores are dependent on both of these supply chains for their merchandise. So that I think is the biggest learning here, where it's not just overstocked stuff. It's also, I mean, we don't actually have the numbers of what the percentages are because those overstock companies don't provide that, but you can think of both of those things getting funneled into these stores.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if it's in our notes, but the interesting part about, you know, even if we're thinking about, okay, yes, TJ Maxx and Ross and stuff like that, they do sell unsold goods, right? And we'll talk about that part.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you get into it? Like you experience this yourself, right? So yeah. Like what happens? You're working at another company, but let's pretend you have a different company, Lisa's water bottle company, and you bought too many water bottles. So what happens when your products don't sell? Like, what do you do as the owner of the water bottle company?
Yeah. So we can do a couple of things. We pay our fulfillment center, whatever, to store these unsold goods in a warehouse. And as any business owner knows, you have to pay, it's especially if it's huge quantities, which is, of course, you know, H&M's, Zara's over the world, you know, big corporations that eventually sell to TJ Maxx their stuff. You know, their warehouses are gigantic.
Massive. Yep.
Massive. So the environmental impact of this and storing these goods is huge. And of course, the cost to these companies is huge.
Yes.
Right? So another option they have is, to pay their sales and merchandising teams to get rid of these goods, to sell them somehow. And that's where that super small price tag comes in, because big manufacturers are happy to make even the tiniest profit off of these items instead of, you know, completely losing all of the money on them and, like, you know, having to spend tons of money on storing them in their own warehouse.
Yeah. So basically what's happening is the, you know, system itself takes advantage of department or specialty store cancellations. They also take advantage of manufacturers making too much stuff, or like a deal when a vendor wants to just get rid of stuff at the end of the season. So basically what we're saying is all of this unsold product is a liability from a revenue perspective. And so they just get sold off to these stores, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then when we were talking about, and I heard stories in like fair trade industry, you know, for big manufacturers that I've been mentioning, it's not that big of a deal to like get rid and make sure you get at least the tiniest profit of this. But to work with TJ Maxx and like, you know, big overstock stores, for smaller brands, especially ethical brands, it can almost break their business, you know? So, and like, that's why ethical brands, they would never, you know, be relying on this kind of supply chain, right? This kind of sales strategy, because it's just not feasible. But another thing I wanted to say is that, you know, even though, yes, these goods are truly unsold, that at least the true part that, you know, let's say H&M and Zara, like, really doesn't know how to sell their stuff, they give it to TJ Maxx. But it's not the whole story behind unsold goods. It's just like the psychology, right, of this relationship between big manufacturers and overstock stores. Like, they know that overstock stores exist. So like, you know what, even if we produce a couple of hundred thousands more units, we can always give it to TJ Maxx.
That's right.
So it is wasteful production of goods that's created by the sheer existence of overstock stores. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Yes, you're right. So it's like they're kind of like, well, worse comes to worse, we can just do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, we heard stories like H&M literally burning their stuff, right?
Which is crazy. That's crazy. So that's kind of the lowdown on the overstock unsold goods, basically. And then we already talked about like, these stores are also notorious for buying new merchandise. And we did hunt down, so we said we didn't know what the exact split was of, new to sort of overstock products. But we did find in 2011, TJ Maxx executive Carol, I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Meyerowitz,
maybe.
I would say that.
She basically said that over 85% of the company's merchandise in 2011 was in the current season. So you can draw your own conclusions there. Again, that's just a quote from her. We can't, take that. We've got to take it with a grain of salt, but it's interesting. So basically, bottom line is there's a mix in there. It's hard to understand what's new and not, but regardless, it's all wasteful. You guys know, right? Like we are not in the business of being Debbie Downers here. We just want you guys to know what's going on, right?
Exactly. So yeah, let's talk about, again, why overstocks are bad for the planet, even though we're kind of already getting into it, right? So first and foremost, these retailers are still encouraging consumers to buy trendy new items, right? Versus more sustainable, ethically made, fairly traded products that are long lasting. So this is fast fashion, fast furniture at its finest, right?
Yep.
In addition, they're dependent on other brands' overstock clothing, and those brands know. That's what I was talking about, right? They know it, that they can rely on overstock stores to... And again, I don't know if we have... Yeah, we have some numbers, but like the overproduction numbers of this big, massive manufacturers, they're not a couple of thousand units, right? We're talking about a couple of hundred thousand units. And it's not just, the raw materials, the shipping, the storing, the shipping to customers. All of this is environmental impact at a huge scale and in very negative environmental impact, right?
Yeah, it's not good. And it's not just fashion, right? Like we talked about the home goods and furniture industry, like furniture is really one of the fastest growing landfill categories. And I talked about this in a previous podcast, but I had a chance to go to the dump with my husband, and just seeing the amount of like furniture and appliances, refrigerators, things like this, that really in my mind could and should have been repaired, just sitting them kind of seeing them sit on the side like that was just really heartbreaking. And so when we think about bringing these larger items into our house, we definitely have to be more mindful, because according to the EPA, the generation of furniture in municipal solid waste accounted for 12.1 million tons of waste in 2018. Now, carpets and rugs were 3.4 million tons, and small appliances like toasters, hair dryers, and stuff were 2.2 million tons. And so I got news for you. I'm a rug girl. I love rugs, but I have tried to be so conscious in what I bring into my house, because rugs are so hard to return if you can return them. And as listeners know, like most of the time your returns don't end up where you think they go anyway. So like most of the time, rather than getting new furniture, new rugs and stuff, like let's see if we can just move it around the house, right? Try in another room.
This episode is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles, a company with a punny name but a seriously sustainable mission to make better bedding for everyone. We started partnering with Sheets and Giggles earlier this year, and the positive reviews from our community keep coming in.
I've been on a hunt for sustainable bedding for a long time now, until Brightly actually recommended Sheets and Giggles. I would highly recommend. The material is great. I personally tend to get hot at night and my boyfriend tends to get cold. So it definitely serves as a happy medium. Highly recommend.
I also get hot at night, and I found that after sleeping with Sheets and Giggles moisture wicking sheets over the past few months, I can't remember the last time I woke up overheated.
I love my Sheets and Giggles sheets. They're my absolute favorite. Not only because they're super duper soft, but they are sustainably and ethically made out of eucalyptus.
Yep, I love that our scout Ashley called out how soft the Sheets and Giggles sheets are. Plus, the eucalyptus that is in their 400 thread count sheets is grown without insecticides or pesticides. They also just launched a bunch of new colors, and I can't choose between navy, blue, and red. Help me!
Sheets and Giggles bedding is super lightweight and soft, and they really nail it on zero waste packaging.
Good Together listeners can get 15% off at sheetsgiggles.com using the code BRIGHTLYSO. That's BRIGHTLYSO.
With the holiday season in full swing, wish lists around the world are filling up with sparkly diamond-filled options. Unfortunately, it can be hard to find diamond jewelry that is environmentally or ethically responsible. Every carat of mined diamonds costs even more resources and pain to the environment when extracting them from the earth.
While typical diamonds are mined using harmful supply chains and damaging environmental methods, ether diamonds are literally made out of thin air. They're alchemized from air by removing carbon dioxide, air pollution from the atmosphere, which would otherwise contribute to global warming. Each ether diamond removes 20 metric tons of carbon from the atmosphere. This is done via direct air capture technology and carbon sequestration methods, transforming harmful pollution into something beautiful and valuable, an ether diamond.
That's what really fascinated me about ether's approach. Not only are they not harming the environment, they're actually capturing carbon while creating the lab-grown diamonds. Plus, they're vegan certified and each ether piece is crafted by hand using 100% fair mined gold. This gold is responsibly sourced from the small-scale artisans who uphold the highest standards for social and environmental practices.
Good Together listeners who are getting married can actually have ether diamonds offset the carbon footprint of your entire wedding, that's food, drinks, venue, and more, by using the code WEDDINGOFFSET at etherdiamonds.com/weddingoffset before December 31st, 2021. That's AETHERdiamonds.com/WEDDINGOFFSET.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, try DIY project, try preserving. And we said it on this podcast so many times. The best thing, the most sustainable thing you buy is what you don't buy, what you keep using. And of course, to put things into perspective about fashion industry environmental impact, again, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but like what I was talking about, you know, fashion industry is responsible for 10% of global carbon emissions. It uses around 93 billion cubic meters of water annually, right? So not just pollution and shipping and creation of raw materials, but yeah, water. And fashion industry is to blame for 20% of all industrial water pollution worldwide too. So it's all part of this big issue, fast fashion issue to begin with.
Yeah, and waste. So we just talked about like how damaging these stores can be for the planet. Now we'll talk a little bit about why they're not really good for people or for you either. So obviously you're a person on the planet, so you should care about the planet impacts that we just talked about. But the supply chain is basically comes down to the human equation. And when you get a product that's extremely low priced, it's going to have a lot of issues with it, right? We've done so many episodes about, you know, how problematic the fast fashion industry too, but the same thing goes for home goods, et cetera. Like if a good is produced cheaply, you could very well bet that it was not made in an ethical supply chain, which means, you know, there's usually very low standards, if any standards, like very low wages. And just, you know, there's no oversight, right? There's no like environmental safety standards. There's no like somebody checking to see what's going on with their chemicals coming out of the factory. It's just not happening because it's just so, you know, fast and loose. And actually we did find an information piece that's interesting here, which is in 2016, there was a report that came out from the Wage and Hour Division, which revealed issues with products sourced by the TJX group. So basically, this report revealed wage, overtime, and record-keeping violations in 85% of cases that they looked into. And a lot of workers were reported to make only $4 an hour. So it's not coming from ethical supply chains, basically.
Absolutely. And of course, another thing, more and more companies now, overstock or not, a lot of people, you will see the information on their website speaking to how they define responsibility, how they action it, and how they're improving. But again, we've talked about this again. You can't believe everything you read. And unfortunately, you have to research and double check facts that are presented on big corporations' websites and press releases, right? And same goes for overstock websites. And here we are for you doing the research.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll mention is Brightly now has its own shop. And when we choose to feature a product and put it in there, our team does the same kind of research on the supply chains. And I'll tell you, there's a huge lack of certifications available for us to look at, right? There's a bunch of certifications, but very few of them are all encompassing, right? Like most of them are very specialty. Most of them are really hard to figure out. For instance, it's pretty difficult to source products that are made over in China and different Asian countries that have certifications that we're used to seeing. Right? Like there's not really a universal one yet. And so I will say that like a lot of brands, when they have these areas of their website and they're like Lisa saying like, oh, we like responsible X, Y, and Z. Well, if you dig into it, you're
mean,
like,
you know
what does it mean? Like, what do you guys have an SA 8000? Like what kind of certification do you have? And so, we talk a lot about the dual equation between consumers pushing on brands and also consumers needing to push on governments or even NGOs to help establish bigger systems for people to use, right? I mean, you experience this frequently with your previous company too, right, Lisa?
Exactly. Yeah. And again, we as consumers, we are the most powerful voice and the most powerful way to voice our opinions and what we care about is by voting with your dollars. And emailing these brands, right? We talk about this too. So, thank you for doing that. I think we will be seeing more and more changes in that, even though, again, because of the nature of this very murky multi-actor supply chain, right? From big corporations to their factories across the world that nobody's regulating, including international, their governments, to then now overstock companies, it is extremely difficult to move this whole like supply chain of gigantic actors, unfortunately. But
absolutely,
I'm positive we'll get there. But yeah, let's quickly go over alternative ways to shop more sustainably.
We're gonna do that, but here I'm gonna jump in and do something crazy. Wouldn't it be nice if these stores had a way to tell you if it was actually a product that you were quote unquote saving from going into the landfill if it was new? Like, why couldn't they at least just tag the product like that, right? Maybe people wouldn't like it. I don't know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think people would be shocked, right? If the actual split is like 85 new to old. But honestly, it's a good point. I'm curious what percent of overstock shoppers are actually care about the environment.
That's true, like Lisa, that's true.
So, I would be very highly surprised if without us, as consumers forcing this overstock stores, they would be like, yes, let me be a bit more transparent just because I'm so good.
That's true. Well, that kind of leads us into our first point, right? Which is like, you can go to one of these places and get yourself a pumpkin spice candle. We're not going to judge you. People do it all the time. Yeah, I did it this season myself. I got one candle though. I did limit myself. I didn't get anything else. But I was bored. And this is why we're just saying like, if you're bored, there is a tendency to go out and shop. And so like, we're going to be realistic here and say that you're probably going to still do that. So just maybe just try and limit yourself and just understand that like, when you go in there, you're not being like this hero, maybe that you thought you were, and maybe you weren't, maybe you didn't think about it all. So that's just why we made this episode.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point. And I was actually, I was like, well, I don't remember when I told you we were getting gifts for my husband's parents. And his mom was like, just get me something from Ross. I don't care. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah,
of course we
do
it. Yeah. I mean, it's a mother-in-law. I can't be like, excuse me, lady, I have no gifts for you whatsoever because you didn't make me at least. That would be crazy. But again, be realistic with yourself. But I think one of my and our community favorites ways to still shop fast fashion, and we talked about it before, so we're not going to go too quickly, too much into it. Buying secondhand, right? ThredUp, Poshmark. Yes. I've been doing it so much lately.
Have I told you this? Yes, you have. Crazy Poshmarking. And, you know, there's another marketplace called Mercari. And it's been really good to get baby stuff because I'm expecting my first baby. And like, there's just so much stuff that you need. And so I've been trying to see, okay, if I'm on a site with a brand new thing, can I go find it from somebody else gently used, or even just like, you know, they forgot to return it within the return window. And it's been like kind of fun. Like I kind of get that same, I don't know, like deal hunting kind of excitement out of it. So like, totally check out those secondhand places.
You know, one thought I had though, and I don't know if I'm being too suspicious now, when I got a jacket from Poshmark and it was, what's Uniqlo something, which I would never buy from them directly, but I got it and it had a tag and like, and it looked completely new. So I'm like, are there now kind of a group of sellers on this resell websites that are purposely buying those?
It's possible.
Because they know the trends and, you know, they know what's selling. So I hope it's not. I hope the, you know, those websites and companies that they will make an effort to control it. But again, they are businesses. So we'll see. We'll see. Let's talk about, spreading the word, right? Just talk about it. Share this episode with your friends and family. You know what I mean? Who are probably asking you this question to you? Are overstock stores good? How can I shop more ethically?
Yeah, absolutely. Spread the word. You know, the next time you're out shopping with your friends or family and you go into one of these places, like maybe just talk about it a little bit. You don't have to be Debbie Downer, but just be like, hey, did you know that most of this stuff is not overstock? Or, you know, there's just a lot to go into it. And it could be like, oh, interesting. I didn't know that. So, you know, spread the word. Also, just like we said, try not to consume as much fast fashion and fast furniture, right? Just try and think a little bit more about what you bring into your home. And, you know, we all say this, it can be harder to practice this than we want to sometimes, but you know what? It does make a difference when you start and think about it, right?
Exactly. No, stopping and thinking about this is like the number one advice I think that we always give to everyone and ourselves from time to time. And of course, again, supporting ethical brands and retailers, if you can afford it in any way possible. And then I saw this kind of meme, a post on Instagram circulating around COVID that, you know, okay, yes, we were, especially in the beginning of COVID, a lot of people lost jobs and like not everybody was in a financial situation to like vote with their dollars, right? But guess what? If you follow them on social, spread the word. Even same thing goes with Brightly Shop, right? Even if you're actually talking about our shopping experience about Brightly, you're already helping us, right? So voting with your dollar, of course, is the most powerful and like best thing you can do to support your brands. But talking about the brands that you love that are truly ethical also makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Well, this kind of wraps up the episode for us. So we, like we said at the beginning, we're really interested in answering more of these questions for you. So we're doing it with our editorial team. They're doing these longer articles where they go and they really dig into things. Lisa and I, of course, have always been doing this for you, but please let us know your feedback. Please let us know, you know, what you're interested in hearing more of. And I hope that you have a nice holiday season and that you enjoy yourself.
Yeah, have fun with it.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast.
And don't forget to join in on the conversation that's happening on our Facebook group. Simply search Good Together Ethical Shopping and it'll come up. You can also leave us a question through voicemail. The link is on brightly.eco/podcast.
If you're into social media, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all of the channels. Our username is brightly.eco.
Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal, simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal, only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.